Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
Trump has already fulfilled many of his campaign promises via executive order in the executive orders in the few short months he's been in office. But a stumbling block that has been consistently thrown in his path is liberal judges. And we have to remember, executive orders can easily be overturned by the next president, so Congress must do more. But do these judges, these district judges, have the authority to do what they are doing, or do they simply not like the guy in the White House? Is that their motive? My guest today is Robert Knight. He's a columnist with the Washington Times. Thanks, Bob, for being with us.
Always good to be on with you, Diane.
And you do a weekly column for the Times and expose a lot of stuff. But recently, you wrote something about judges. I know it's extremely frustrating for Americans who want to see positive pro-American change coming out of D.C., and it's hard for us to understand just what's going on with all these judges. What is going on? Do these judges have the overstep their authority, or are they doing what they're constitutionally allowed to do?
Well, they're overstepping their authority. That's the short answer. Democrats have filed more than 125 lawsuits against President Trump's executive orders, and they found willing judges to put their stamp on them. I think there have been more than 60 injunctions issued by these federal district judges around the country. You have to understand that we have 667 U.S. district judge districts. That means any of these 667 people, and there are some more with retired judges who sometimes sit, could issue an order and then claim that it has national implications. And that's what they've been doing. They've been issuing orders trying to stop the Trump administration from looking at vital records at the Treasury Department when the new Treasury Secretary came in. They've stopped deportations, even of Venezuelan gang members, Trindia Agua.
Right.
One after another. And no, they don't have the authority to do this. They could rule in individual cases. And the good news, Diane, is that the Supreme Court finally woke up and slapped a couple of these judges down this past week.
Right.
And said, no, the government has a right to fire all these temporary employees at the U.S. Department of Education.
Right. And when I think temporary, I think temporary. I mean, if they're on probation, which my understanding is these are probationary employees, I'm thinking, well, you're there at the, you know, if you're boss says we don't need you anymore, then you have to leave. I mean, that's what I always thought probationary meant.
Well, like at a private company.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's turnover all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are radical changes at companies where they lay off lots of people.
Yeah.
And they're saying, no, nope, can't do that to government. And these people get in and then they're permanent bureaucrats.
Yeah, exactly.
And the court finally said no. They also barred or lifted an injunction on deportations for a certain group.
Right.
It was the Venezuelans, I believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this Judge Boasberg had no authority to do what he did. He tried to order, in fact, he did. He issued an order that President Trump had to turn airplanes around that were carrying people, gang members.
Crazy.
Unbelievable.
It is. And when I think district judge, I think your territory is that district, not beyond that.
Yeah, the whole idea of three branches of government is that the legislative branch, and this is how it works in states too, legislative branch passes budgets and grants powers to executive agencies, and then the executive, in this case the president, runs them like he would manage a company.
Right.
And has every right to have powers over personnel and budgets. And then the judges can rule in individual cases and say, well, in this case, these plaintiffs had a point. and we'll award them this or that. But to say now it applies to the entire nation, mm-hmm. and yeah. the president can't have the authority to even run his own executive agencies mm-hmm. as the chief executive of the United States, this is so sweepingly wrong.
Absolutely.
That, it, you know, the Supreme Court finally, you know, stirred itself from its slumber and ruled, but it was close, 5-4.
Yeah.
In both instances.
Because didn't Amy Coney Barrett side with the liberals? If I remember.
She did in one case, but not the other.
Okay.
She was the deciding vote in the other. But John Roberts has been bad in both.
Yeah, he has been.
What is with Roberts? I mean, he's.
We've been asking.
He really
that.
Showed his. Different yeah. stripes back in 2010 when he upheld Obamacare.
That's what I was going to bring up. We've been asking what's with Roberts ever since Obamacare. Yeah.
I have my own suspicions that something is there that mm-hmm. He well, doesn't want revealed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're holding over
because
his
some of his decisions are inexplicable.
Yeah.
Given his judicial temperament and his political background, his political philosophy, the Obamacare ruling alone, mm-hmm. you know, where he turned the Obamacare into an attack,
yeah.
Even against the rule, the arguments of the Obama legal team, just yeah. to say, okay, we've upheld it under the Constitution, right? That was judicial jujitsu.
Yeah.
If you look at the opinion, it was all geared toward overturning Obamacare until the very end, and then he does this twist. It's just, well, we can move on. But these recent things, I mean, it's just he's become a real problem. But so is Amy Coney Barrett on too many occasions.
Right, and that's, I know that's been a surprise to most Americans that she's not quite turned out to be as conservative as we had hoped. President Trump, you know, touted her. Obviously, because he's the one who nominated her, and of course she was confirmed. But yeah, there's
it seems like this just keeps happening, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Diane,
yeah, I know.
With Republican presidents, Reagan got Sandra Day O'Connor,
right?
Disappointed him often.
And didn't he get Kennedy also? Wasn't Kennedy?
Yep. Yeah, Anthony Kennedy.
Yeah.
Who was awful?
Oh my goodness!
He just upended the whole sexual constitution.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And made up constitutional law out of thin air.
Uh-huh.
He was a disaster.
Yeah.
And, so now we have Amy Coney Barrett and Judge Roberts. And,
yeah. So hopefully she will see the light. Hopefully, but it's the last couple weeks has not been, you know, a good indication that she will see the light. I don't know.
Yeah, so she does too.
Yeah. So obviously, there's judge shopping going on with the.
Yep.
Those who are challenging President Trump, there's judge shopping going on. The ACLU is very much involved in protecting these illegals and filing cases and such, trying to keep them in the country, even though they may be members of very dangerous gangs. And the ACLU, it's a liberal organization. You and I both know that. And it's, you know, troubling that there's so much involved in this. But it's also troubling that some of these, when it comes to USAID, and some of this money was given to religious nonprofits, and I don't know if all of them are, but there's a good number of those religious nonprofits that got money from USAID are also filing lawsuits, and to me that's troubling. To begin with, they're NGOs, non-government organizations, but if they're getting money from the government, doesn't that make them a government organization? That made
not
no sense.
Not quite.
Okay.
But it allows the government to pull their strings.
Okay.
And the Biden administration was issuing all sorts of grants based on their ideology that mm-hmm. anything goes, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of the most objectionable grants, if you've noticed, even in the mainstream press, when they list them, it's almost always about the LGBTQ or the abortion agenda.
Absolutely.
Either one. They grabbed all this money and gave it to hard left organizations around the world.
Yeah.
And boy, this doesn't help our battling the image of America as the great Satan in cultures that are very traditional, whether they're even Hindu or Muslim or certainly Christian.
Yeah.
It looks like we're there to wreck their moral system.
And in the case of some of these NGOs, some of these organizations, that is their game plan. Their game plan is to change their culture. And Obama, I think Biden did too, was tying their, you know, legalizing abortion or legalizing so-called same-sex marriage in order to get federal aid, you know, foreign aid from the U.S. And that's definitely an indication that they want to change the culture of a nation. So
And these are the same people who accuse Christians of wanting to, you know, put their values over on that, force their values. What are you talking about?
I think the majority of Americans objected to our tax dollars being used for transgender surgeries, I think is in Colombia.
Yep.
And then handing out condoms to the Taliban. Is that what we did too? totally crazy. Totally crazy. So is there any... go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say, you talk about judges who are just at war with American values.
Yeah.
The column I'm writing right now is about a case in Vermont where the mid-Vermont Christian school was kicked out of the main sports league in Vermont because they forfeited a game in the playoffs for the girls' basketball team because there was a 6'3" male on the other team.
Wow.
And the coach said, I'm not going to subject my girls to this.
Right.
They could get hurt. It's not fair. So they quietly forfeited and allowed that team to advance toward the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the state came down on the Christian school like a ton of bricks, banned it from the Vermont Principals Association League, which governs all the high school sports in the state. And not only did that, said you can't participate in any sports of any kind, whether it's volleyball or track or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We're barring you from that, and we're barring you from any co-ed events that could occur, such as a science fair or debates. In other words, they're trying to destroy the school.
In other words, you're on your own. You're on your own.
Yeah, you're on your own, and if you lose lots of students because their parents really want them to participate in sports or these other activities, and suddenly the rug is pulled out from under them. Oh, well, that's the agenda. They want to destroy Christianity. So they, you know, destroying a Christian school is a big part of the project.
Wow.
And guess what? The Christian school brought a case and it went to the U.S. District Court. And of course, the guy who was in charge, the U.S. District Judge at that time, and an Obama appointee, sided with the state.
So of course.
The good news is that the Vermont school was in court on April 9th.
Okay.
In New York City at the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. And I talked to the attorney at the Alliance Defending Freedom who handled the case, and he said, I think it went very well. It's pretty cut and dried.
Oh, yeah.
The school believes boys are boys and girls are girls, and the state doesn't.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell right there.
It really is.
Right.
Yeah.
The school passes Biology 101. The state fails Biology 101.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it there. Yeah.
Wow.
But these judges are out of control. They've gone way outside their lane, and they need to be pulled back. And I'm glad the Supreme Court is starting to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because it's not just, you know, President Trump being attacked. With, you know, his executive orders being attacked and these district judges intervening and basically establishing national policy, but it's also district judges, as the example you just gave in Connecticut. But there was also a situation in Indiana where an Indiana prisoner, I think it was, that you mentioned in your article about a district judge said the state had to, I think, pay for his quote-unquote sex change.
Oh, yeah, sex change operation.
Had
to pay for it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's cruel and unusual punishment or something to deny him that, which is just... So the taxpayers have to pay to mutilate some poor guy who's confused and deluded about his sexuality.
Yeah.
And the state sides with that. It's really out of control. But the good news, again, is that Americans are onto it. It's one reason Donald Trump was elected president. This issue had far more power than I think the ruling elites realized. They thought it was a sideshow but it really is at the heart of the battle of worldviews in this country. And the idea about whether we'll bend our knee to a false ideology and will agree to have a government that enforces that false ideology. So it was about sexual perversity and government power abuses. And it was all encapsulated by Kamala Harris saying, yeah, I think taxpayers ought to pay for sex change operations of prisoners.
And then we have Tampon.
What a great way to...
Then we have Tampon Tim.
And Tampon Tim actually ordering tampon dispensers and boys' rooms in Minnesota schools. This told the American public a lot.
It told the American public that the Democrats were crazy.
Yeah, they're nuts. They're off the deep end.
Yeah, and I think the Democrats did underestimate the issue in 2024, and they thought that there were more Americans on, quote unquote, on their side when it came to this issue than what actually are. When you have stories of parents losing custody over kids.
Where the parents wouldn't go along with the new identity of their child. Well,
and you mentioned
took away custody.
Yeah, and you mentioned a new Colorado law about dead naming.
Yeah, they call it dead naming, and if you dead name, then you're in violation of the law, whether you're a school official or even a parent. And by the way, apparently the Southern Poverty Law Center was there aiding the transgender case. And saying that parental rights have nothing to do with this.
Parental rights, yeah. Well, I'm shocked that the SPLC was in there. Explain to our listeners what dead naming is. What is dead naming?
It's when you use the original name based on the biology of the child or adult, for that matter.
Right.
Like if somebody is born and proclaimed to be John Smith, and then decides later to be Joanna Smith, and you see through it and say, you're John Smith. If you address that person that way, you're in violation of the law, and you can be charged with a crime.
Wow.
But the worst part is parents can lose their children. And meanwhile, school officials have been caught proselytizing, pushing kids toward identification with the opposite sex, and of course, identifying as gay or non-binary.
Right.
And all without parental knowledge. It's just, here's another thing, though, Diane. I'm one of those people who don't believe that parents can knowingly give consent to puberty-blocking drugs, hormone cross-sex hormones, and genital surgery, regardless.
Right.
Unless, this should be an adult decision
for some
poor person that once they're 18 and over, maybe. Yeah. I still think it's wrong, and I think medical professionals who engage in it are committing evil acts.
Yeah, there's no
Instead
doubt.
Instead of getting these people the counseling they need, they're cutting off healthy organs.
Permanently.
I don't think parents can even that.
And too many times parents are not given all the facts. Too many times parents are, they want to help their child who's confused, and they take their child to a counselor. And the majority of counselors are pro-LGBTQ, and the counselor is going to say, "Well, you have to do this," or ask the parent the question, "Do you want a dead son or a live daughter, or vice versa?" Anyway, but they're trying to say that the parent only has one choice: you have to allow this process to start, or your child is going to commit suicide.
That's such a lie,
And parents are confused because this is a whole new phenomena. And truthfully, I believe, in fact, I know not enough churches are addressing the sexual identity crisis and not providing any guidance to children, teens, or parents when it comes to this issue. Because I think I think churches don't know how to deal with it either, because it's confusing. Unless you shouldn't be confusing to a church. I mean, God made male, female. I think says something about that in Genesis. So a church should step up and provide a guidance for these folks. So, we have this situation where we have district judges hindering President Trump from doing what he promised to do on the campaign trail last year. And finally, the U.S. Supreme Court is stepping up somewhat to counter some of this, because these district judges have definitely overstepped their constitutional authority. And besides the Constitution really only mentions one court that is created, and that's the U.S. Supreme Court, a Supreme Court.
And that is exactly right. These district courts and even the appeals courts are creations of Congress.
Right.
Congress has authority over them and could do a number of things. There is a piece of legislation right now that Republicans have introduced, and it's the, I forget what it's called. It describes itself. It's like judges can't make policy act or something.
Yeah.
And it basically says that the judges have to stay in their own lane. Their decisions apply only to the parties in the lawsuit and not to a national sweep of authority. Very simple. You know, Congress can also do other things that they are loath to do. And we've been recommending some of these for years when the judges get out of control. First, there's impeachment.
Right.
It's a perfectly constitutional solution that they don't want to go down that road because it's very difficult.
Didn't Justice John Roberts say you couldn't do that or something along those lines when President Trump mentioned him?
Yeah, and he's wrong.
Yeah.
You could do that. He's going by what's been standard practice, which is that nobody dares to because they probably can't get the votes they need in the Senate to convict, so why bother? But Congress can do two other things. It could cut the budget or the salary even of the judge in question. Of course, that judge would sue, but... when they pass legislation, they can limit the jurisdiction of the Article III courts, which is all the other courts below the Supreme Court. And they can say, you can't review this legislation. We had urged them to do that years ago with the Defense of Marriage Act.
Right. So that's not already in the law as far as, again, when I think district judge has control over the district that he's in. But there's not actually something in the law that puts it down in black and white at this point.
Not in terms of a particular law.
Okay.
They sit there and they try to apply the law based on challenges.
Right.
And say, okay, this meets constitutional standard or it doesn't.
Uh huh.
And then they assess it to the parties. You know, they might give relief to one party or throw the suit out, which is often the case. But what they've done recently is new. They just didn't do this before, where a district judge would say, okay, now I'm applying this to every single part of the United States.
Right.
And the territories. It's like their head got so big, you wonder how they get in the courtroom.
Yeah. Well, I think you said something about the title of your article was the judges who would be kings or something. I think something along those lines was the title of your article.
That was the headline. Judges who would be kings.
Yeah, because that's what they're acting like for sure. So what can the average American do? I mean, you know, we see all this happening. We're very frustrated because we think what President Trump is doing is legal. He is the chief executive officer of this nation. But what can the average American do as we watch this whole thing play out in frustration?
Well, if they like what they're seeing from Doge and Elon Musk, and they need to contact a congressperson and let them know that.
Okay,
and say, look, we're behind this. We think the government is out of control. It needs to be cut. We're sorry for some of the employees that are being let go, but we're in a debt situation of $36 trillion and heading toward a cliff.
Yeah.
Government has to be cut back.
Right.
This is a little brutal at times. It's being done with an axe, not a scalpel. But there's no reason to believe that if they did it quietly and gently, it would actually happen.
Exactly.
I mean, because people for years have said, we're going to cut back on unnecessary spending and fraud and waste. And they never really
do. It never happens. Yeah.
It never happened. So Trump realized we needed shock treatment.
Yeah.
So that's what we're getting.
That's absolutely, yeah.
And the Congress has to know that, and they have to come alongside him, because the next president could undo all this.
Exactly.
But not if it's in the law. And the Congress is the one that creates the agencies and sets the limits on what they can do and can't do.
And I don't think Congress has been following their, you know, the guidelines that they may have set for agencies. I don't think Congress has been following as to whether those agencies have overstepped the authority that they were given, such as USAID.
Ridiculous. The Congress has been very lazy.
Yes.
They've sort of said, okay, we're giving you the authority to do this. Here's the overall mission. Now we're going to look the other way.
Yeah.
Not how it's supposed to work.
No, that's not the way it's supposed to work. That's not why we voted for congressmen and sent them to D.C. It was not to, you know, basically pass legislation that gives these agencies the authority to do whatever, kind of fill in the blanks or whatever. That's not good. So how can folks contact you?
They can go to my website, which is roberthknight.com. RobertHKnight.com. They could also send me an email. And if they do that, I could sign them up for my weekly newsletter, which consists of my Washington Times column. I send it out every Monday morning. My email address is RobertKnight4@gmail.com. So you got RobertHKnight.com for the website and RobertKnight4@gmail.com for the email. And just say, you don't have to write me a long note, just put sign me up and add your name.
Okay.
No cost, no spam. Just a column every week you may or may not agree with.
It's an opinion column, so, you know, it's your opinion.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I appreciate getting that column every week. So you take care of yourself. And there's RobertHKnight.com is the website. And also Bob's books are on that website, too. You can purchase his good books, too. And email is robertknight4@gmail.com.
I appreciate it. That's it, Diane.
Okay.
God bless you for all you do.
God bless you, too. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay,
talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.